Okay, I'd like to call the Cayuse Law Commission meeting for Wednesday, May 21st, 2026, 7 p.m. Present for this meeting, Commissioner Buchwald, Commissioner Edwards, and Commissioner Meyer. Absent Zalizzi and Terry Duman. I don't see anybody in the room that's going to has requested to make public comment. So then I'd like to recognize, first of all, gentlemen, I'd like to thank you for being here. And I've got a proclamation here that is pretty lengthy. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm going to read the essence. Otherwise, it'll have to be a tag team match, and each of you would have to take a section. All right. So, proclamation, Port of Cayuse Law, proclamation for National Safe Boating Week, May 17th to the 23rd, 2025. For nearly 100 million Americans, boating continues to be a popular recreational activity. From coast to coast and everywhere in between, people are taken to the water and enjoying time together boating, sailing, paddling, and fishing. During National Safe Boating Week, the U.S. Coast Guard and its federal, state, and local safe boating partners encourage all boaters to explore and enjoy beautiful waters reasonably. So since we have you, here's what I'd like to ask. If you guys could describe typically what you do during the season, what your particular activities that you engage in as an auxiliary. And any one of you...
Each one of us has kind of a specialty area, so we can just go around.
Okay, yeah. That would be great. We'd just love to hear the story of each of your stories.
And if you could state your name for the recording.
Okay. Scott, your hand's up. You'd like to go first.
Okay, my name's Scott Philbin. I've been in the auxiliary for about 5 years. My primary thing that I'm into is operations, which means we're on the boats, we're out on the river training most of the time, but we're always looking for anybody that might need assistance. Somebody runs out of gas, their motor quits, run over a crab pot line. We're there to help.
Okay.
We can do a lot of stuff, but if we run into something that we can't handle, we call the Coast Guard, and we work with them on a regular basis, and they know if we call them that they need to get on their horse and get out there.
Okay, so you coordinate your activities with them. Yeah, excellent.
So I'm Will Sumner. I've been with the auxiliary almost 20 years. I'm really a marine safety specialist, so in addition to operations, which is that's our coxswain.
Okay.
I'm involved in the commercial fishing vessel examination, UPV examination, oil spill prevention, and stuff like that. And again, I work right directly with the gold side, what we call the Coast Guard, because they have all gold stuff and we have all silver stuff, including the
okay,
anchors.
Okay.
They call us the platinum side. They're the gold side.
Okay.
So I work with, inspect the commercial fishing boats up and down the coast. We're setting up a whole fishing guide examination program for all the guides on the oceans and the rivers. And we also inspect recreational boats and stuff with that. It's really Bob's responsibility.
What's your personal background? How did you get here? What did you do to put food on the table years ago?
Well, I'll start with my dad. He was Army, it was Navy in World War II and Air Force.
Okay.
So I grew up as an Air Force brat. But I have my PhD in chemistry and toxicology. I've worked for the FDA for 30 years testing foods, mainly looking at oil contamination, pesticides, stuff like that.
Where did you take your degree?
Undergraduate at UC Davis, graduate University of Minnesota.
All right, okay.
And we loved it up here because it looked just like Minnesota.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. I appreciate tolerating my questions. I appreciate hearing your background. Thank you.
Okay. I'm Bob Redfern. I'm in charge of the vessel exams and boat inspections for the station here. And I'm here for the facility and also RSS officer, which is a rescue survival service officer.
That means all of our protective gear that we wear.
Or survival equipment out there we wear. And over 30 years I've spent in the fire department, you know, Palm Springs and Bakersfield.
So. Okay.
Been here going on 19 years.
Okay.
Been with the Coast Guard Auxiliary for 10 years.
Okay. So you were in Bakersfield as a firefighter?
Yes, I was the chief fire and arson investigator for 10 years there before I went to Palm Springs Fire.
Ever have to go out on an oil patch fire in Bakersfield?
Yeah, we done a few.
Okay.
Red and air over here. There oil.
Yep. Yeah, I went from hot to hotter when I went from Bakersfield to Palm Springs. What am I doing there?
Living on the face of the sun.
Love it up here.
Good. Well, thank you for your... Yeah. And we...
Doug Wisman, been with your auxiliary 2 years. I'm the rookie. I'm the cat herder, so I herd all these people around. My primary focus has been on herding them around. And vessel inspections, and one of my specialties is kayaks. So I go around and do some kayak safety presentations.
Okay.
And I go out with the kayaking crew quite a bit.
Okay.
So that's been a big push. But one of the things I really enjoy is being crew. I'm a crew member on these folks' boats to help them tie knots and put buoys up and things like that.
Tow boats.
There you go. One of the interesting things that I've been doing lately, I know Scott's been doing that, we work a lot with the helos. So usually, three, four times? It's almost four times a month. So we catch the swimmers when they hop out of the helos, land in our vessel and with a rope, and toss down the basket. We help them do drilling and practice with that. So that's been pretty exciting.
And your background?
Background is emergency management. I was with the governor's office for a number of years in California. So any statewide emergencies or disasters.
Okay.
And through those 20 years of work in emergency management, I worked a number of oil spills in California. Okay. So that was my connection.
Off of Santa Barbara by any chance?
No, these were in the Bay Area.
Oh,
we had about four oil spills.
Well, it wasn't an oil derrick spill.
It was usually large ships running into bridges, which would be the Bay Bridge.
Or sinking in Richmond Harbor.
And sinking in Richmond Harbor, you know. And we had a couple whale emergencies where whales came inland, and we keep a safe barrier around them to make sure they didn't get sliced up and help them go out. So that was my original connection. And when I came up here 2 years ago to Florence, I noticed the Coast Guard station was across the street from where I lived. So.
Where have I run across you?
You look familiar. Oh, Rotary?
It's Rotary. Rotary, right. I was embarrassed there, aren't you? All right, that's a connection.
I keep track of this guy in Rotary, so he's in trouble.
Okay. Okay, I knew if I had talked long enough, I'd embarrass myself, so I appreciate it. Well, great. Well, gentlemen, we sincerely thank you for your service. And forgive me for not reading in the entire proclamation. If you go to the city, Mayor Ward's going to read the whole thing. Because I've sat through them.
We were there last week.
And I did it at Reedsport with the mayor down there, too.
They read everything. Yeah. Now, appreciate you guys having us and doing this for us.
Well, we appreciate you. Okay, well, thank you.
Well, you have a question?
Yeah.
So I do all the aids of navigation and stuff, so... You have the restroom, the floating porta potty you put on the harbor, and I know you've got the two yellow flashing lights on it. You put that in the July 1st or something? When do you deploy
sometimes we put it out like June 1st, I think.
Wait for the salmon season to try and get started.
It all depends when coho season starts. So.
Okay. Yeah, because we survey all the pétons and étons. And I noticed we never surveyed that before, and I called Sector and said, "What floating toilet?"
Yeah.
So I kind of reminded them that there's...
Yeah, they don't allow us to leave it out there year-round.
I'm just curious, because I filed a report on it, and finding out it's running properly, but we need to check it once a year. So.
Okay.
Yeah. Good.
Well, thank you very much. You guys are welcome. You really don't want to stick around for the rest of your time.
Thank you, guys.
And you folks have a good day.
We'll be setting up some vessel exam stations here in the harbor. We typically wait till the boats to show up.
Doug, I might...
Thank you again, guys. I appreciate you humoring me. Actually, it was, for me, I learned a lot from your presentation just now. That was great. I appreciate it very much.
Okay. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
All right, take care.
Thank you. All right. Anybody have a modification to the agenda, or is it approved? Anybody object to approving? Hearing none, the consent agenda is approved by unanimous consent. Approval of minute. Any modification or additions to the minutes? Hearing none, it's approved by unanimous consent. Approval. Okay, Kelly, why don't we go through the financial tab number 4?
So checks printed in April were $110,894.89. Occupancy for the campground in April was at 52%, which is up 2% from last year. And Moorings was at 46%, also up 2% from last year. And then we don't have on the agenda, we don't have anything for the property management at this point.
Okay. But eventually, there's going to be a line item where that starts showing up and things like that. Yeah. Okay. Eventually. All right. Next item on is update on the property management site. Pardon me. Yes, sorry.
The balance sheet, Kelly. Fixed assets, 1,500. Account, 1,530 and 1,500. What is that?
Okay, let me find that, Mike. Okay. Okay, down here.
Construction in progress.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they're supposed to be combined.
To zero?
Yeah, there was a $34 on difference in when Sydney had me doing the...
Journal entries?
Yeah, the journal entries. But yeah, I'm pretty sure that is supposed to be zero, but I remember that leaving a $34 balance. So I need to look into it more or call her and ask her.
Okay, would you do that before the next meeting? Because I'm just kind of curious why she did that anyway. I mean, I understand the construction in progress. That's setting up an asset, but I don't understand taking it out of fixed assets.
Yeah,
so I'm just kind of curious about what I don't, that doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah. There's a couple entries that are kind of questionable that I'm not sure why she has me do them, but I will definitely double check on that.
And do we have, I didn't look, I'm sorry I didn't get an opportunity to look at it, but do we have a previous, we only have one financial statement in here, we don't carry them forward. In here, we don't have one from a balance sheet from March.
We don't carry them forward.
All right,
but
that's
there
fine.
Was one last year or
yeah,
last
that's
month.
Fine.
Yes.
Okay, I just wanted to see if what's going on with the fund, the $297,000 negative fund balance.
So you want me to send you the March one?
Yeah, I'd like to see that because I'm confused why we would have a $297,000 negative fund balance.
Which line are you looking at, Mike?
I'm looking at the second page of the balance sheet.
Second page down here. Okay, do I have that?
Yeah. Account number 3,900.
Can't. Okay, I'm not deep enough into it. Okay, I'm not there then. Okay.
No, you go back.
So page one of two?
No, go back. Keep going back.
Okay.
Yeah, go back. The first one's a balance sheet.
Okay.
All right, stop right there. Look at that page. Go down to the bottom. You see line, or you'll see account number 3,900.
Well, okay. Oh, I see it. Fund balance.
Yeah, I just want to know.
Okay. The minus 207, is that the one you're looking at?
Minus 297.
Pardon me.
Yeah.
Minus 297, 665. Okay, I see it.
Yeah, I just want to, I want to get some information on that.
And so I think that's from some of her entries, too. I think I don't know if she uses that like a...
Well, she's not supposed to use... Okay, so she's not supposed to use anything as a catch-all. And she's supposed to explain to you what these entries are for, because you don't know. You're responsible for, and don't, let's see, don't, I'm just passionate about this kind of stuff, because I'm not sure we're getting the bang for our dollar, because you're not being, she's not telling you anything.
She doesn't give
tells
you
nothing.
And I think that's what she's using the fund balance for.
Who is this?
It's our auditors. It's a CPA firm in Newport. And she's been doing the work for years, and don't misunderstand me, she's, I mean, they're qualified people. It's just that it's kind of like...
But we need an education.
It's kind of like the beginning available cash, or well, we've had conversation about that numerous times.
Right.
And not once. It's not possible. And, I mean, I think you understand that. It is not possible for us to end up with that fund or with that beginning available cash or working capital. It is physically, I mean, I'd win all three lotteries first before that would come out to the right number. That's an estimate that you make in April or May. And what, and that's the actual? You come out to the actual every year for the past 4 years? No, that's not true.
No, it's not true.
So there's some things that we're not rattling the cage. Mm-hmm. But if you'd look at those couple of things and send me that March financial statement,
I will do that.
Mike, does it rise to the level where we need a workshop with her?
No, not yet. It's just,
okay.
She's I think she's ready to retire. She's been wanting to retire for 2 or 3 years now. I'm not a friend of hers, but I've worked with her for the past 25 or 30 years. And when I got on this board, I just noticed that we don't seem to get, you know, we're not getting what we're paying for. And you and the lady before you, it was no questions could be answered, because they send you a sheet with journal entries to make their adjustments. They go through, and it's like they're the supreme being or something. And they're not. They're auditors. And if there's an issue, we need to know it. We need to know how to fix it. And this balance sheet tells me that we're not getting that proper information. So I just want to get a little bit more information before I call her and see what's like, really? Is this? How can you estimate your ending cash in May, April, or May and have it come out to the penny? Actual. That's simply not possible. Okay, that's all I got to say.
It's either that or we just have really good spending habits here.
It's not.
Well,
she's using some other line item to make the adjustment. I mean, there's some something is being expanded and contracted with it in order to make it fit.
What happens is they just
the detail.
Well, it'd be nice to know what the detail is, and it'd be nice to know it, because after I see what you send me, I'm just simply gonna. I'm going to call her and say, hey, how'd you calculate that? Send me the calculation. I'd like to see it. Because working capital, it's not that difficult to do. It's, you know, it's current assets less current liabilities, period. That's the capital you have to work with. And because we switched several years ago from the cash basis to the accrual basis, it's just made a mess of things, really. It's just made it's made your job more difficult, in my opinion. Because anybody that tries to be on a full accrual basis, it's more than a full-time job. It's just there's things in here I know are missed. I mean, they're not material, so it's not a big deal. But when you're on the cash basis, well, you know that when you look at that financial statement, they balance to your bank reconciliation, and that work or that beginning available cash does not.
So why did it switch from cash to
accrual? I wasn't here. They switched it the year before I was became a commissioner.
Oh, okay.
And you know that some of the managers we had back then, and it just did, none of it made sense.
Were you talking about Cindy's husband?
Well,
I mean, he was the one right before the one that I had to fire when I first came on this commission.
Yeah, it's. I mean, there's been more than one, Bill.
Okay, well, yeah, that's the only one. There was only two that I was aware of that I ever ran across, because I was, you know, my first action, I never worked with a port manager, the other than for one meeting, which the meeting was when I fired his ass.
Well, there's just some things that we'll follow through with. I just wanted to know why that's an odd entry on the balance sheet to be shown that way with a $34 negative. So we need there's something else that goes with that. It shouldn't be there.
Okay.
Well, Mike, I appreciate. I'm not an accountant. I mean, and I appreciate you bird dogging this very much. So, and I would mind following along and learning some while we're engaged in this. So, all right. Any more on that?
No, I'm good.
Okay. All right. And let me see if I can find my agenda again here.
Number five.
Okay, we're on number four. We're on the campground management. I mean, campground management issue, right? Is that where we're at, David?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
So, Commissioner Zalazzi and I have been working with our attorney, and now Jim's attorney to come up with a contract that's going to suit both us. And Jim's company. There were some things in the original contract that Craig had run through SDO, and then we had run it through our attorney also, which is basically the insurance portion of it, additional insured, and a few other things. Right now they're kind of working together to come up with something that'll maybe work for both of us. SDAO and our attorney didn't like the original contract, so that's where we're at with that. I'm hoping that's going to be soon.
Dave, how are you handling the division of responsibility between the campground portion of it and the long-term tenants portion of it? Is there going to be is he going to be managing, in essence, both those and taking a small slice out of the income from both of those? Is that where we're going to end up?
All we're doing up there is long term, right now at this point.
So. Okay. So his responsibility, as that is going to be defined in this contract, is the management and of the long term leases, mm-hmm. and his yeah. income is going to be derived from the long-term leases.
Yeah.
Is he going to derive any income from any of our campground function, or are you planning on doing at this point? Because I know we haven't discussed that as a commission. Are you planning on doing campgrounds up there, or are you planning on just doing the long-term for now?
Well, right now it's only long-term. That's all we have in there.
Okay.
Is long term, and that's something that, you know, I assume that we were going to phase that out at some point, but then we kind of discussed the feeling that I got was possibly that, you know, if it makes sense to continue with long term revenue wise, then.
Well, I don't know that, I might be mistaken, I don't know that we actually sat down and discussed long-term versus campground. What I'd like to see is I'd put it on a spreadsheet, and I would assume, okay, if we do it tenant-wise, and we just have tenants there, this is the projected income. But if we do campground based on our occupancy, because we know that in the wintertime of campground, you've got an occupancy issue. But if you have long-term leases, you don't have an occupancy issue that you have to calculate. Now, so I would personally lean towards not operating as a campground, just do long-term lease, because I think you're going to get full occupancy year-round and something that, and a revenue stream that you can count on.
Yeah.
But that's just me. I don't know. Mike, what are your feelings on that?
I don't have any feelings about it until I see the paper,
yeah.
until I see the numbers. I mean, I can't even comment on it.
Okay.
Because I haven't heard that we've had much trouble. We've had a little trouble We've had a lady come in here just, you know, bringing every agency she could possibly think of up. She won't be the last. Nobody rents without having issues long term. They just don't. We rent short term, and we're having an issue or had an issue with somebody who refused to leave. So it's we paid, what did we pay for that? $1.25 million. We just need to book it out and see whether or not long term is going to bring us the income stream, not just to make our payments and you know, have a rate of return, but we got to fix the place up too. There's a lot of work that has to be done there. We got to, you know, the docks, they're not perfect, they're not bad, but we can't even launch there right now. So we're going to have to put some money into it. So I'd like to just see that.
Dale, what do you think?
Well, theoretically, it seems that long-term would be over time a better resource for revenue gain. And right now, I mean, what we have there, we are gaining about, what, 17?
15.
How much?
About 15.
15. That's 15. That, what's that look like after additional staffing? And
We got about 7,000 going out.
5,900, almost 6,000.
So say you have between 5,000 and 7,000 that you would be gaining. Well, that's at least a positive side that you can put, reinvest back into the thing. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of like you. I think there's just a lot of questions. I'd hate to say, no, we're going to... I don't think legally we could have people leave there. I think it's probably prudent at this point in time until we have opportunities maybe to take over a campsite that would be abandoned or left.
Well, what West Coast would be doing is the management portion of it, which would be collecting the rent and utilities and basically doing evictions
and intake also,
contracts, where we would continue doing the maintenance and upkeep on the property and the sites.
So realistically, I'm just throwing, without having the actual numbers, it's kind of a break even if you do that. Would I be assuming that in the sense of what you're paying for a fee for management?
Their fee would be 10%, so of 15,000, it would be 10% of that. We get a couple more people in there.
Well, it'd be a lot cheaper to have them do it than have to hire extra people here. So.
Oh, there's no doubt.
Well, we're still going to have extra people, or I mean, we may still have to have extra people depending on the amount of work we have to do out there. I mean, I know that we have more sites here at the port, but there's just plenty of maintenance out there that's going to be ongoing. It's just going to be ongoing. We all know that. Docks, we can't just let them go to pot. So it's early. We haven't had any meetings over it. We haven't really discussed it in detail. We haven't seen anything for sure. We haven't had any projections. So I you know, it's just to me.
So you want to get a little history on it?
I'm just not ready yet to say one way or the other. And we can't, like you say, we can't just send them a letter and say you guys be gone in 60 days. That's not going to work. But I know there's money in what we're doing here. There's money in this. Now it is a different location. Closer to the ocean, and closer to Bay Street, you know, all that kind of stuff. So it's really a popular place. That's not going to be as popular. Now, it may be during the river salmon season, because I think that we'd be able to rent those slips out, especially when they know who owns it, who's taking care of it, and the work that we do to it. But it's just too soon to...
Well, there's... It's a work in progress, as I would.
Yeah, think. No, it is.
And the potential, I think, potentially amortized over time. I think it's a good thing. It's just a matter of we just don't know what we don't know yet.
We charge it's the contract that we took over from Marge, the sites are $550 a month plus electricity. And I think,
you know, the community needs those sites. At $550 a month, people can afford, somebody that works in town can afford to get a reasonably nice RV, and they're going to get off cheaper than trying to rent an apartment in town.
I think Jim had talked about after the first year, we would be allowed to raise it a portion of rent amounts.
Yeah, I know that there's rules on that, but he knows the rules.
I think if you abide by those rules, I had senior complex in the church that I pastored in Lodi. There was governance on how much you could raise per year, but we were allowed under the law, but it was minimal. We got there way behind what it should be.
Sure.
But I think, again, I think it's just early.
I mean, it seems like it's going well long term, but I know in the beginning when we started this whole process, we thought of phasing that out, but you know, it might not.
Well, I think we, I agree with Mike, and I'm hearing it from Dale. It's too early. We need to get a little history of the opera and start seeing some figures, but and I'm not going to suggest my personal bias, but I probably lean in favor of going towards long-term leases. I think it supports the community better, and I think it gives us a more predictable flow income, especially during what the Chamber of Commerce likes to call the shoulder months of the season, when the visitors to this coast drop off the cliff for a number of months.
Well, we'll just see. I mean, we don't know what it's going to cost yet.
Okay.
We know what we can get an estimate of what we're bringing in each month. We have no real. We don't really have an estimate, a budget for what it's going to cost to operate it and what the net return would be.
Okay.
Now, in the beginning, I thought that that's what was more important than anything, was using taxpayer money and not getting a return on it. And maybe it's not. Maybe it is.
Well, I think
providing a lower or a reasonably decent rental
for workforce housing, as they like to refer to,
if indeed that's what they are. I mean, I don't have any idea who lives there. I don't know. And I guess it doesn't matter, as long as they're not like the person who doesn't feel they need to pay money that they feel the taxpayer needs to support them.
Well, I'd like to see what happens in a year after we've had a year of experience with it, understand the revenue source and our expense for that year. That would give me more understanding of
where we are. And it would make me, I could make a decision with that kind of information. But right now, I'm just spinning my wheels.
Well, you know, the potential of what's out there, I look at that as entrepreneurial, but as economic development as well. There's potential to do other things out there. With the properties up on top, I mean, I know that need to have some work done on a road to get there, but I think there are grants available for that type of thing. Yeah. I think the potential long-term is amazing, but it's going to take a lot of money long-term to get there.
Yeah, so we're going to have to invest back in it. But again, as we climb up the learning curve and we get a year's experience, then like Mike is saying, then we can be a little more intelligent about what direction we have to take and where we are. But it is a learning curve. It always is on something like this.
You're right.
Yeah.
Anything more, gentlemen? I've got no more. I'm out of ammunition. And Dave, any other comment? Any questions you have of us concerning?
No, we had to.
You're comfortable with the process that we're moving forward with, the people you got involved in developing it?
Yep.
Okay, good.
We're just, you know, I I wasn't sure on, you know, the contract portion of it with Jim. I mean, that's, you know, after Craig ran it by SDAO and they said it was didn't really favor us, and I'm assuming that that was the process that we were working towards.
Yep.
Now is coming
sounds
up
good.
A decent contract. So, but,
I think you're running on the right track. Yeah. With it, I think.
Yeah.
It, we, you know, there's some people up there that still haven't paid rent. I mean, it's.
Yeah, but there's only, yeah, okay. But are they on welfare? In other words, are they on the same path that the lady that came here and lectured us, where they, well, were they on a, what they call a rental system program through the county?
She's the only one that we know of so far.
Okay, so the other ones that aren't paying rent, in other words, we can't evict her because, as the lawyer said, if she is able to pay that monthly rent, she gets to stay there, right? Okay, what about the other ones? They're not paying their rent?
And I think we have one court date coming up here.
Oh, okay, so you're going through a formal eviction process.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it looks like it. All of the indications are it's gonna be a win on our side.
Well, it should be, but the way the courts work, there's no guarantee. You know, they could say.
Yeah, but there's only so many outs that they can take. So the lawyers have obviously looked at the. But we'll. Until. Does it go before. It goes before a judge to determine, right?
Yeah.
And I guess there's no predicting necessarily how the judge. Now, not before our local. Is it before our local magistrate here in Florence?
Mm-hmm.
So it's before the city, the judge.
It's a Lane County judge that comes from Eugene. I'm pretty sure.
Well, we also hire us. We have a judge that we hire here in the city. That the city operates a court right there in the justice center.
It's here.
Okay. Do you have court dates? I might be interested in going and sitting in on it.
I think they said it was the 28th.
Yeah.
Text me or email the court dates.
Okay.
Because I'd like to see how the process works.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to hear the judge say, no, you don't have to pay rent.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
free. The taxpayer owes you. I'm just being sarcastic, but it has to go our way. I mean, it's logical. There's nothing erroneous. There's no.
Well, the crazy thing is, though, that there was legislation put in place, mm-hmm. was it 3 years ago, that favored tenants over. Property owners, amazingly, favored tenants, and
we know, and that's a reality. But again, Mike is saying, it would be unbelievable if the judge says, no, you don't have to pay anything, you can stay there for free, you can violate. So we'll see.
They might say, yeah, we'll be out in 60 days, or the sheriff will evict you.
Yeah,
I don't.
Well, we'll find out.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'd like to know what the court date is. I'd like to go down there and sit in on it.
What?
Anything more, gentlemen? If no objection, this meeting is concluded.
Well,
Thank you.
I do have one question. Have you heard any more planning on the Dreds issue out here?
We met with the planning department and what's the engineer?
Metro Planning?
Yeah, Metro. And so we met with them. The city made it sound like it's going to be very difficult. They're doing a little bit of research before they tell us whether it's worth moving forward or not.
So is the issue coming down to a reasonable site reserve for the future dredge, and it's the size of that reasonable site? Is that what it's coming down to?
No, it's the fact of it being a permanent site, basically.
Anywhere on the dredge site?
The whole dredge spoil site, whether we can actually make that footprint smaller and say this portion of it is now the only dredge spoil site, and we can utilize that other portion for something else. That's where we're at.
So right now the rules encumber the entire site for us from developing. Yeah. Is that what it's looking like?
The entire dredge spoil site.
What other designated dredge spoil sites are there? I know that the Nordahl, that is a site. What other sites near us are designated for dredge spoils?
I think there's some up by Murphy's. I think Don Wilbur may have a few on an island back there, but the only thing that makes it difficult is those sites are out of reach. The one at Nordahl's is about as far of a distance that we could even consider pumping.
Can we condemn a site by public domain? And pay him, condemn it and take it by public domain and pay him the real...
He's dead.
I know that's...
He's gone.
He died.
Okay.
He passed away.
Okay, so. What about his heirs? Have you been in contact with his heirs?
I don't know. I've been wanting to talk to Terry about it. I think he may know him. I have no idea who they are.
Because, you know, I for years I've just said, let me talk to the guy, and we haven't been able... So now he's passed, and is... Because we can probably make a reasonable accommodation with his heirs, but I don't know. We need it. Would sure be nice to get into a discussion with him.
It would be nice to know if we could, for the simple fact that if you were able to have that as our site, I mean, there'd be a cost to get it, but what you could actually put out there in permanent sites over the long term, I think would be to our advantage to have it.
Yeah, no, we met with the city about 3 weeks ago now, and Metro is researching it now. I haven't heard back from them since that time, but they're definitely looking into it, and the city gave them all the information that they needed, as far as I know, of how we could possibly move forward, or if we can't.
Okay. How about the bulkhead? Have we had any other?
Not lately. I haven't heard anything lately on the bulkhead. Okay.
Getting back to the Nordahl site,
mm-hmm.
Can I request that we try to make contact with the family?
I don't know how.
Well, there's all kinds. That's a public record. His passing and his estate, now that estate's settled. So we have to get lawyers. I don't know either, but I know a lawyer should be able to find out how to...
I think that Terry knows.
Well, then can you ask...
They're next door.
Which Nord... Is it Eldon or no?
Eldon, yeah.
When did he die? I didn't realize that.
A few months ago.
Damn.
Yeah.
2-3 months ago.
Well, I don't care whether you ask Terry or you check with somebody in the county that can tell us... Let's make contact with his descendants, with his heirs.
And then the county will know that?
Oh, yeah, that's all public record.
Well, you could probably find, if you could find what they wrote in the paper, they list any relatives. Yeah. Next time you go by the Sportsman, stop in and see Bill.
Okay.
And ask Bill. They all, you know, there's some, you can find them. Yeah. And I will find out. I'll find out from Terry.
Yeah, because I know Terry knows.
I'll find out from Terry.
So, but I want a consensus from the commission here. I think that we need to pursue, we need to find out, and we need to enter a discussion. Because here's the value of this. We've got a site out there right now that's tied up because the state says that is a designated spoil site and we cannot do anything permanent on it. But if we have an alternate site, am I understanding this correct?
That,
if we have an alternate site, we can fully develop this site. Will that site fully develop is a gravy train. We know what happened when we developed those waterfront lots along the riprap.
You're right.
So, so it is a valuable task that we're pursuing here, and that spoils site is worth a lot of money, and I would like to get into negotiation with the heirs, because describe that site. As I understand, right now it's a big sand lot.
What's that?
The Nordahl site.
It's got growth on it.
But it's not developed in any way, right?
No.
There's a driveway that goes down to a gate, and that's about all.
Yeah.
Okay.
And there's not a dock.
Yeah, it's just a flat piece of ground.
Okay, I got to believe.
So that's off. You're talking about that piece off 126?
Yeah, right next to Terry.
So that's where he's the one that shot that guy's boat
up?
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, I know.
Kind of set the guy's engine to
But guys, am I barking up the wrong tree? Do we have a consensus here?
It is not going to hurt to do some legwork. I think the legwork's cheap.
Yeah, I think I'm totally in favor of looking into it to see what we can do.
Okay, perfect. All right, great. Thank you, guys. Okay, I'm glad you brought up because we weren't further through yet. We had a few more things to discuss. Okay, if anybody else has anything to bring up.
Good.
Okay, meeting's adjourned. Thanks, everybody.
All right, see you next time.